During this season, after Epiphany, we are studying the Gospel of Luke, learning more about who Jesus is and what it meant that he was born into the family of Mary and Joseph, the Son of God, the promised Messiah. In Luke 4, we saw Jesus begin his ministry in a synagogue in Nazareth, fulfilling the prophecy of one who proclaims freedom. Then in Capernaum, Jesus spoke with authority, cast out evil spirits, and healed people. And then he went out to preach the good news of the kingdom throughout Judea. The order of events in Luke's gospel is a little different from the other gospels, where we see Jesus calling disciples to follow him before he does those miracles of exorcism and healing. In Luke, though, some of them are already getting acquainted with Jesus, and the story we read today is about how Jesus called his first disciples. We'll be reading verses 1 through 11 of Luke 5, where Jesus is at the Sea of Galilee, which Luke calls the Lake of Gennesaret. Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let the nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I wonder what brought Jesus to the shore that morning. Was he drawn to the water, to the open sky, to his friends who were out in the boats fishing? Like Simon, whose mother-in-law he had healed. While he was there, the people began to come. They are eager to hear him. He begins speaking, and they hang on every word. Whether he is teaching the ancient scriptures or proclaiming a new vision of the kingdom, Jesus is speaking the very word of God. And they want to hear it. They press in, more joining at the edges of the crowd, standing on tiptoe, straining to hear. So Jesus looks around, sees Simon cleaning his nets near his empty boat, and asks him to take the boat out a little way from shore. It's a practical move. The water and the bay create a natural amphitheater, so that more people can see him and the great acoustics help them to hear him better, too. Then Jesus sits down in the boat to continue preaching the word of God. When he finished teaching, Jesus turned to Simon with a suggestion. Go out into deeper water and let your nets down to make a catch. You can almost hear Simon sigh. Master, he says. Now he is acknowledging Jesus as teacher, and Simon's already serving Jesus by having taken him out in the boat. Yet fishing is Simon's area of expertise. So what will he say to this directive from the teacher? Master, he begins to explain how that night has gone, maybe with a note of weary exasperation. We worked hard all night, and we got nothing. But if you say so, at your word, okay, I'll follow your direction. I will do what you say. So Simon, an experienced fisherman, has had a bad night, but he is willing to do what Jesus asks. Already, he is learning to trust his teacher and obey his instruction. And when he does, look what happens. A great catch. How in the world? Did Jesus know where the fish were? Because Jesus is God and he knows everything? Or did Jesus tell the fish to come to the nets because he's the Lord of all creation and can command them to do so? Wonder if it matters how it happened. This move reveals the penetrating knowledge of Jesus. He is omniscient, that wonderful, holy, and amazing word, omniscient. Jesus knows everything, and he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He can do anything, and now he has provided a superabundance of fish for Simon and his partners with lavish generosity. When all those fish began to fill the nets, Simon signaled to his partners, and they all pulled together to haul in that great catch. So many fish that the boats began to sink. Simon and the others were astonished and amazed. Just like the people were astonished and amazed at Jesus' teaching and miracles that we read in Luke 4, these hard-working fishermen recognize that this is a miraculous catch. Full of awe and wonder at what he has just seen, Simon Peter fell before Jesus. In the presence of that divine power and abundant goodness, Simon Peter recognizes his own unworthiness and the holiness of Jesus, who is the Lord. And he said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." In this, we are reminded of Isaiah. In his vision of the Lord, high and exalted in holiness and glory, Isaiah responded, "Woe to me! I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord." Or we think of Moses, when he came close to the burning bush on holy ground and heard the voice of God, he hid his face. When people realize that they are in the presence of the Almighty God, they fall back, because we know that sinfulness doesn't belong in the presence of holiness. Or maybe we fall down in worship and we confess our sin. We ask for God's mercy and forgiveness and for the purifying power of his Holy Spirit. These are habits that we practice in worship because we see them demonstrated by God's people who came before us, like Isaiah and Moses and Simon Peter. And we hear the Lord offer grace. Jesus does not send us away because of our sin, nor does Jesus go away from Simon. Listen to what he said. "Fear not. From now on, you will fish for men. You will catch people instead of fish." Don't be afraid. Jesus does not leave sinners. He doesn't go away. Instead, he comes close. After all, isn't that exactly why Jesus came to earth? He came into the world because of the sin that had entered the world and tarnished us. He wants to bring deliverance and purity. And Jesus accepts people who are humbled in his presence. As a matter of fact, when people recognize their own weakness, then God offers strength. Jesus can use people who have a humble and teachable spirit. And finally, Jesus gives a new direction to go. From now on, you will fish for people. It's not really a command, the way that Jesus says it here. It's more of a description of what's coming next. Here's how it's going to go. It won't be the same kind of fishing you've been doing, where you catch fish and you kill them so people can eat them to stay alive. No, you will catch people now, and you will rescue them from death and sin and bring them in alive. And you will bring the good news of new life because the Savior has come among us. Now, Simon Peter and the others don't fully understand all of this just yet. But they do recognize that they are in the presence of the Holy One. They have seen the amazing catch. They have heard Jesus talk about fishing for people. And Simon and his partners, James and John, are all in. They're ready to take on the new mission. So they pull their boats so abundantly filled with fish onto the shore. There's a rich provision there for their families. And then they leave everything behind to follow Jesus. This story about Jesus calling his disciples helps us to think about how Jesus calls us too, and about what it means to follow Jesus. It's more about discipleship than it is about vocation. We can be disciples in whatever our vocation, our job, whatever our daily work may be. Mark Buchanan, a pastor and author of The Rest of God, writes about Luke 5, "This is not a story about what kind of work Jesus values more, fishing for fish or fishing for men. Both are excellent, God-honoring ways to spend a day. This is a story about calling. If Jesus calls you to be a fisher of fish, then do it with all your heart, because he says so. But if he calls you elsewhere, then do that without looking back. Don't be afraid, because he says so." Buchanan goes on, "The rest of Scripture supports this. God values our work and wants us to value it likewise. Adam was a gardener, a landscaper, a farmer, a taxonomer, a poet. In all these things, he was doing the Lord's work. The Bible and history is full of stories of godly people who answer God's call while they continue their regular occupation. The Apostle Paul remained a tent maker even while he went on missionary journeys and preached the gospel. Lydia sold her purple cloth while she also hosted a house church. And you too can respond to the call of Jesus while you go about your daily routines, as you show God's love to your students, as you speak peace to your clients, as you talk about the deep welcome of Christ with people who walk into your office." And we can learn a lot about discipleship from this story about Simon Peter and Jesus. Discipleship begins with a relationship of trust and obedience. Simon already knew Jesus. He was already willing to serve with his boat. And then when Jesus told him to go deeper and cast his net again, even though he may have had reservations after his unsuccessful night, he trusted and he did what Jesus told him to do. And then when Simon experienced that miraculous provision of fish, he recognized the gracious goodness and power of the Lord Almighty and was humbled in the presence of Jesus. Having the humility to recognize God's power and our great need for grace and help is important to our discipleship. And finally, sometimes when you hear God speak into your life, you do have to leave everything behind, even sacrifice something as you go down a new path to follow the call of Jesus. Even when you don't feel worthy in God's presence, God invites you. Even if you don't feel equipped to follow, Jesus calls you. Jesus seeks people with trusting and teachable hearts, ready to respond to his instruction, to go into deep water and let down your net, even when it takes really hard work to obey that direction. Jesus needs people who fall down at his feet in worship and humility, who recognize God's glory and authority, and people who are ready to follow, even when it means leaving something behind. People who listen to his call, even right where they are. People who are ready to work together, like the partners who helped haul in the nets full of a great catch. Isaiah was invited into God's presence, and when he beheld God's glory, he felt a stirring of God's call in his heart, but at first he felt unworthy. Remember, he said, "Woe to me, I'm lost." And then a hot coal touched his lips, and his guilt was taken away. And then when Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Isaiah said, "Here I am. Send me." Then a whole new life was opened up to him, a life of prophetic ministry to God's people. Simon Peter saw a great catch of fish and recognized God's power and authority in Jesus Christ. And then he heard the voice of Jesus say, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch people." And he left everything to follow Jesus. A whole new life opened up to him, a life of experiencing Jesus as Lord, of following Jesus to the cross, of being equipped by the Holy Spirit to preach and catch people for God's kingdom. And God speaks to us, calls to us, invites us to follow in many ways. Maybe when you read scripture and hear it in a new way. Maybe when a friend affirms your giftedness for a particular ministry. Maybe even through a still small voice within your heart. I hope you're listening. And remember this too. When Jesus calls you to follow him, he also gives you his Holy Spirit to equip you to follow and serve him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And a whole new life may open up before you as you trust and obey, as you humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and as you leave the old behind to follow God's new call in your life. I'd like to close with a poem that is a prayer that was posted just yesterday by a pastor friend who I believe was probably preaching today on this same passage. He's from the Netherlands and Argentina. He works in Argentina. The poem was written in Spanish and roughly translated, and I hope this translation does it justice. This is by Gerardo Carlos Obermann. Have a seat in our boat. Let's pray it together. Sit in our boat, Master. When the workday is over and the fatigue is heavy, make room among our empty nets, forgiving us that we offered you nothing. Tell us stories of trust and faith. Encourage the disbelieving heart. Challenge our spent souls. Move us to the impossible. Push us to overcome disappointments and to overcome the fear of another failure. Sit in our boat, Jesus friend, that next to you, the waters look calm and the sun shines differently, perhaps already announcing the miracle of our transformed lives. Invite us to the challenging depth of an encounter with mystery, of the surprise of the miracle, of the full nets and of the unexpected abundance. Sit in our boat, brother fisherman. Shake off our unbelief and take what we are and what little we know and have to accompany you in that new fishing with no nets and without boats. For you, we leave everything. With you, we go.